This week is Parshas Yisro. Okay, Parshas Yisro is very choshu. Parshas, learn about Matan Torah. First Rashi in Parshas Yisro, we learn. Okay, just close, lock the door. Go around the back. Okay, Parshas is the first pasuk. Vayishma Yisro koy miyin chayse Moshe eskol asher asa l'kim l'Moshe. Vayishma Yisro koy miyin chayse Moshe eskol asher asa l'kim l'Moshe l'Yisro amok yitzia shemesh shol min Mitzrayim. Rashi here says, Mashmua Shamoba, what inspired Yisro to come to join Klal Yisrael? So Rashi says two things, Kriyas Yamsuf u'Milchemes Amalek. There are two different events which inspired Yisro to come to join Klal Yisrael, Kriyas Yamsuf u'Milchemes Amalek. These are two very different things. Milchemes Amalek, Kriyas Yamsuf was a very great victory. It was a very happy event. But also Shivcha Shavia Mashalaro Yecheskel Ben Buzi, Klal Yisrael was able to witness the destruction of their enemies. It was a wonderful event in Ruchnis, in Gashmis, there was Bizas Yamsov. In every dimension, it was a wonderful, wonderful event. Mitzad Sheini, he also saw Milchemes Amalek. Milchemes Amalek was a horror. In every dimension, it was a terrible event. It was where after Shamu Amim Yergozim Chil Ochas Yoshe Peloshes, after all the nations were terrified of Klal Yisrael, for now there to be a nation Amalek that has no fear and is willing to go and attack Klal Yisrael and to make Leitzonus is to go take the Bris Mila and to take the Bris Mila and to throw it into the air and say, oh, you want a Bris Mila? Here's a Bris Mila. It was a horrific chutzpah that Amalek committed a war to attack Klal Yisrael, and the world was watching, and the world saw that indeed Klal Yisrael, even after Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, are still vulnerable to their enemies. So the question is, so Yisrael witnesses both of these things. And Rashi tells us that it was the combination of both of these events which inspired him to come. And indeed, there are many different interpretations, explanations as what is the significance of the combination. In other words, like this would just draw one quick idea. If Yisro only would have witnessed the good times, he only would have witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf, only the good. So Mefarsh tell us that he would not be accepted, because we do not take gerim. There's a halacha: gerim are not going to be accepted during the times of Mashiach, because why would a person want to become a Jew? Because it's wonderful. The Jews are in the ascent. The Jewish people with zeicher are going to witness miracles. If you were not with us in the difficult times, you do not deserve to join us in the good times. A person's sincerity cannot be proven if he comes to join us only in the good times. So that's why we do not take gerim in the times of Mashiach. If the only thing that would have been would be Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzias Mitzrayim, then the truth is Yisro would not be accepted. Yisro would not be allowed to enter into Klal Yisro. So that's why Yisro also needed to hear about Milchemes Amalek and to see, now that he recognized it's clear to the world that the Jewish people are not 100% vulnerable, they also suffer very, very much, they're also subject to Milchama, so therefore we're not living yet in the times of Mashiach. Joining Klal Yisrael is not all apple pie. There's going to be definitely some danger, some vulnerability. That's why now Yisro indeed will be accepted. So therefore it was necessary for him to see the good and the bad. It's interesting the contrast of opening pasuk of Parshas Yisro with the opening pasuk of the Haftarah for this week's Parsha. What is the opening pasuk of the Haftarah? Yeshaya. Haftarah begins. It's the first Nevuah of Yeshaya. Really, it's the first, it's the recruitment of Yeshaya Hanavi. Bishnas Mos Hamelach Uziyahu Voereh Es Hashem Yoshev Al Kisei Ram Benisav Vishlov Milim Es Haichol V'chul V'sraf Ma'im D'mimal Lo Yeshay Shrafayim Yisiz the Malachim. And Voeshma, I'm jumping in a few psukim. Voeshma is Kol Hashem Oimer Es Mi Eshlach Umi Yelech Lanu V'Oimar. And Yeshaya responds, Hinini Shelocheni. Now let me explain to you the meaning of this pasuk according to the Arizal. The Arizal says something really is amazing. There are two parts to this pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is Esmi Eshlach. The second part is Umi Yelech Lanu. Hashem says, I need a person that will fulfill two missions. A mission to give over words of joy, words of nechama, nachamu, nachamu ami. And I also need that same person, a person to go deliver words of musar, to tell them that if you don't shape up, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And that's how we divide the pasuk. Es mi eshlach is referring to a Navi that will give over words of good, happy words, words of simcha, words of comfort. And I also need part two, Umi Yelech Lanu. The Arizal explains, Yelech means he will go, it's not going to be a shliach, in shliach l'dvar avera. Okay, when it comes to saying over words of harshness, words of musar, you're not called a shliach. You're a yelech. You're a person who just goes and repeats words who serves a mission. So the first part of the pasuk is mi eshlach, is to be a messenger for good, and the second part of the pasuk mi yelech lanu is to be a messenger for bad words of musar, harsh words. How does Yeshaya respond? Voimar. Yeshaya says, Hinani, Hashem, I'm here, I'm available. Shilocheni, I'll take on the first mission. I'm not interested in being the messenger for Umi Yelech Lanu. I don't want to be that messenger. The messenger to deliver words of harshness, I would prefer not to do that. But the Shilocheni, yes. That I am willing to give my time and effort to be a messenger to deliver words of good. So now look at the contrast between the beginning of the parsha and the beginning of the Haftarah. There are two people here which are being recruited. Yisro versus Yeshaya. Yisro is coming to Klal Yisrael. I want to join. I want to sign up. And Yeshaya wants to sign up for a mission. Both of the missions are similar. To be part of Klal Yisrael. To work for Klal Yisrael, work for the organization. Yisro, he says, I'm coming to join. And what inspires him to join is two things. Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. Good and bad. Yeshaya, when he signs up, the job requirement is, I want someone for good and for bad. He says, I'll do the good. I'm not interested in the bad. This is the contrast between the beginning of the parasha and the beginning of the Haftarah. And in fact, this is ideal. Because they're signing up for different jobs. Yisro is coming to join as a member. I want to be a member of Klal Yisrael. And to be a member of Klal Yisrael, you have to recognize that there are good times, there is Kriyas Yamsuf, and there are times that it's not so good. There are times when there's Milchama, there are tragedies, Amalek, Vayizanev b'chokol hanecha, shulim acharecha, they attacked us. There are difficult times. To be part of Klal Yisrael, you have to take the whole package. But if you want to work for Klal Yisrael, Yeshaya is not signing up to be a member of the club. He's signing up to work, to provide services. When you want to provide services for Klal Yisrael, you only look for the good. It's not proper. It's not an ideal thing. It's not an ideal thing to your mission should be to uncover all of the skeletons in Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, I need someone to work for me. There's a job to be mechazek Klal Yisrael, and then there's a job to give a mussar, to uncover all the dirt, all of the harshness. It's not a good midah that you should lechatchila allow you, we be recruited just, that should even be part of the equation. There's a lesson being taught. This pasuk over here is a very powerful lesson only when you contrast Yeshaya to Yisro. If you just had Yeshaya and you didn't have Yisro, all right, it's a very nice pasuk. Hashem says, I need someone to work for me. And the job demands good and bad. You're going to have to be mechazek Klal Yisrael, and you're going to have to criticize Klal Yisrael. So Yeshaya says, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm willing to be mechazek them, but I don't want to criticize them. Beautiful, it's a very nice word, a very nice pasuk. But when you take this pasuk and you contrast it to the beginning of Yisrael, when you contrast the beginning of the Haftarah to Yisrael, it has so much more meaning. Because Yisro, when he came not to serve, but he came to be part, to be a member of Klal Yisrael, then it's a different story. Then you have to join for the good and for the bad. When you commit yourself to be part of Klal Yisrael, you have to recognize you're going to receive reward for being part of Klal Yisrael, and you have to recognize that you're going to receive punishment for doing averos in Klal Yisrael. That is equally important as the good. You can't go sign up, I want to be part of Klal Yisrael, but I only want to receive the reward. I only want to be part of the Kriyas Yamsuf. I don't want to sign up for Klal Yisrael and be part of the consequences of Milchemes Amalek. There's a Milchem of Amalek for a reason. And that is an important, it's important to accept upon yourself the difficulties that come along with being part of Klal Yisrael. No pain, no gain. Yitzia Mitzrayim was a benefit ultimately for Klal Yisrael. It was the core Harbarzel. Easy for us to say, right? But still, we have to have Emunah. Emunah, even though of course there's nothing that you look forward to, but there's Emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he chastises, it's no pain, no gain. So when you join Klal Yisrael, the two elements are equally essential. You cannot separate one from the other. But when you are on a different purpose, when you are being recruited not to be part of Klal Yisrael, but to service Klal Yisrael, don't thrive on uncovering, on hanging up their dirty laundry. Okay, there are many people out there, unfortunately, that thrive. They have newspapers and websites whose goal is one thing only. Mi yelech lanu. Who's going to be the one that's going to be here to criticize and cover all the garbage?
I don't buy it. A leader has to, look at Moshe Rabbeinu, all the things. He comes out of Mitzrayim this week already. They're complaining about this, they're complaining about that. Moshe Rabbeinu, a leader has to be there in the good times.
Of course a leader has to be. But where is the leader's heart? Where is his heart? You're a professor. You're a professor in college. There are two major parts to your job. There's the teaching, and then there is an enormous amount of paperwork. Correct?
Well,
hear me out. Hear me out.
That's not the issues I would compare it as a professor job. There's compassion and concern for your students. And there's also the ability to convey the information you have to give them.
That's all part of teaching. Teaching includes, in your job of teaching, you're in the classroom, you have compassion, and you convey the information. That's one part of your job. Wrap that up into one item. Then your job demands of you an enormous amount of paperwork. You have to prepare exams, you have to mark the exams, you have to file all these reports, you have to file, and every day you walk into your office, in your mailbox, is a whole collection of papers you have to sign and work. And these things can take hours and hours and hours to do. Tell me, do you thrive on the paperwork?
That's not really got a good analogy to what you're trying to present.
The point, this is, okay, if it's no good, it's no good, but let me just hear me out. a leader, there are, unfortunately, there are people out there in this world, you see it very clearly, they thrive on hanging up your dirty laundry.
Musser. We've been learning about Amos. What is he doing out there?
I'm telling you what the Arizal says. It says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need someone to work for me. There's a job opening. The job opening has two parts. Mi eshlach lanu umi yelech lanu. Eshlach lanu is chizuk, be mechazek my people. Umi yelech lanu means give them musr. Hang up their dirty laundry for all to see. And what do we learn from Yeshaya? Yeshaya Hanavi. He says, Hinini Shilocheni. I take the job, but my focus, I take the job entirely. Most of Sefer Yeshaya is Musar. The vast majority of Sefer Yeshaya is Musar. And yet Chazal tells us it's Kula Nechemta. Why is it Kula Nechemta? The Arizal says, because Yeshaya, when he took the job, he said, Hinini Shilocheni. This is what I thrive on. I realize there's no such perfect job in this world. Every job comes with paperwork, things which I don't like to do. And in fact, most of Sefer Yeshaya is Musar. But Bachazal say, Kula Nechemta. Why is it Kula Nechemta? Because he said, Hinini, I want the job, Shilocheni, I want the first part of the job. The first part of the job is good. Oh, Hashem says, I'm sorry, it's all or nothing. The job requirements are, Mi eshlach lanu, Umi yelech lanu. There are two parts to the job. So Yeshaya says, I'll take the job. I'll do both of them. I'll do both of them equally. But,
that you didn't tell us 5 minutes ago.
What?
That part of it you did not tell us 5 minutes ago.
I'm sorry, I didn't explain it well. It's my chesaron. Chotasi. That's what I'm trying to convey. And there's a this is the Arizal. The Arizal says there's a job opening. Two parts. Mi eshlach umi yelech lanu. Good and bad. And what does Yeshaya say? I want the job. I take the job. Most of Yeshaya is the miyelech. But hinini, where is my heart? Shilocheni. Beautiful heart, right? Contrast that with Yisro. Yisro, the beginning, that's the Haftarah. And what's the beginning of Yisro? Yisro is joining Klal Yisrael. Mashmua shoma uba. Two things. The good and the bad. The good is, what's the good? The good is Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf represents the ultimate of Nevuah and represents Aruchnias and the ultimate of Gashmias, the Bizas Hayam. And what else? Why else did Yisro come? Because he heard about Melchemes Amalek. He heard that the Jewish people are despised in this world. And there's nothing the Goyim wouldn't do to kill us, to wipe us out. And both of them together, 50-50, is what a person needs to join Klal Yisrael. Don't just think I'm going to be part of Klal Yisrael for the good, but I'm not going to be part of Klal Yisrael for the bad. You have to accept both of them equally. Contrast that with, that's what your mind has to be. Your mind has to be fully with the program, both parts. Contrast that to Yeshaya, where he had a job requirement that was 50-50, and he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll take the whole job, but my heart is only going to be focused on the good. Wow, what's the difference? The difference is, where do you sit? What's the job? Yisro is coming to join Klal Yisrael, to be a member of the club. Yeshaya is coming to serve Klal Yisrael. When you serve, you have to serve them b'shleimus. But don't thrive. Ah, I told you so. A big smile comes to your mouth when a person makes a mistake and you say to him, ha, 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 I told you so. And when the person succeeds, you say, all right, not bad. Not bad. You succeeded. You know, unfortunately, there are people like that. There are people who thrive on the negative. And the good, no, the good is the good. This is a very bad attitude. And that's what we learn from Yeshaya. But when it comes to join Klal Yisrael, you have to realize being part of Klal Yisrael is a complicated process. There are good times, and there are times that are very difficult. That's the way it is. There's Milchemes Amolek, which represents our situation in Golos, that we are Kiatem Hama'at Mikol Ha'amim, we are despised. The Goyim want to destroy us over and over. What Amolek has done to us throughout the generations in all of its various forms and is a horror. And then there are the glorious times in the history of Klal Yisrael. And if you want to become a member of Klal Yisrael and you want to just, I'm not willing to fully absorb the lessons of Amolek, I'm sorry. Then you know maybe your membership application will be denied. Each idea is interesting in and of itself, but I'm just trying to point out. Wow, look how clever Chazal were, how they matched up the Haftorah of Yeshaya with the first pasuk of Yisrael. Each word is true in itself, but when you contrast the two together, it opens up a new appreciation, a new dimension of. There is everything in this world. There is good and there is bad. And to what degree do you focus on the good and the bad? When you join Klal Yisrael, you have to take the full package entirely. When you're serving Klal Yisrael, it's necessary to give them Mussar. But don't go and smile and say, I told you so, good for you, you got what you deserved, you did an Avera, and now you're going to be destroyed, and we're going to repossess your land, v'chulu v'chulu. That's not the right attitude. The attitude is, focus on the good. The evil, no. There's always psoilus in this world that has to be dealt with. Okay, we have to go weiter. Next idea. Let's go to Yisro. Let's go to Yisro's advice to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes and he sees Moshe Rabbeinu, he's working so hard, and the people are standing over him the entire day. Me'ashmeres hadbeikir ad ha'erev. Right, the pasuk over here says, Vayihimi machoras vayeshev Moshe l'shvresa'on. Vayamel amal Moshe al-men ha'beikir ad ha'erev. From the morning until the evening, vayarch chesed Moshe eizch l'ashahu v'oysel l'om. And he says to him these shocking words, Novol Tibo, Moshe, you're going to wither away. You're not going to survive. Novol Tibo, Gamata Gamma, Om Hazasher Imoch. Ki Choveid Mimcho Hadavorit to Choveid. Le Suchala Sol Levadech. And he goes on to tell him what to do, v'chulu v'chulu. What exactly here is going on? Pshuto shel mikra is that the workload is too much. You have a workload that you can't handle. You cannot sustain the workload. And the people cannot wait around the whole day. You know, the court system, we know in America, the biggest problem, you have a fender bender, you'll have to wait decades to settle a $40 dispute. Okay? It's a saying, the people are going to wait around the whole day. Oymir alecha kol hayoyim. Aren't those his words? His words are, Novol tibol gamata, gam ha'om hazeh sher imach. Okay? And going back, it says, v'chol ha'om nitzov alecha min boiker ad arv. It's a very nice shot, okay, but just to see Moshe Rabbeinu, but he said to him, it's not going to last. This cannot be sustained, to sit around the whole day just to look at Moshe Rabbeinu, So I want to suggest to you something a little bit different. A little bit different in what exactly really is going on here behind the scenes. Maybe we can say the workload could be sustained. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was a workaholic. He was very quick. He had siyata d'shmaya. He was able to decide all of the matters 1, 2, 3. People, like you said, maybe they enjoyed. It was a religious experience coming to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not what was bothering Yisrael. It wasn't the workload. It wasn't the time element and the tircha and the workload. The issue was, people in this world need a purpose. You see very often people who are in yeshiva for many, many years. You learn in yeshiva, get married, you're in kollel. How long can you stay in kollel? Let's assume, let's argue, even people that money is not an issue. There are people who are independently wealthy. They come from very wealthy families, or they themselves, on the side, are very talented, and they make an enormous amount of money on the side. There are people like that. There are definitely people who are incredibly wealthy, or people that are very talented, they have money, and they sit and they're taught from the time they're in kindergarten in certain communities that the most noble, the most beautiful thing you can do with your life is to sit and learn Torah Lishma. Now, 99.9% of the population can't do that because you need to make a parnasa. You have a family, you have children, you got to pay tuition, so no one can ever have enough money. You need to make a parnasa, so you got to leave. Let's talk about the 0.001%. And you'll search enough, and you'll talk to find people like this. Money is not an issue. And they learn, they're in kollel, and then what happens to them? How many of them remain in kollel their entire life? Almost none. What happens to them? They get a job. What kind of job do they get? They all different types of jobs. Some of them they go out and they become accountants, they become doctors, lawyers, and some of them find jobs as being rebbeim, rashi yeshiva, klei kodesh. Why is that so? The answer is because a person has a need to give. Deep, deep down in your neshama, it comes a point in time in your life where you have a need to be a noisein and not just be either neutral or be a mekabel. When you're sitting in kollel in yeshiva, you're learning, you're absorbing information, you're learning, but you're not giving. Right. It comes a point in time in your life where you feel the need, what am I here for? What's my purpose in this world? Deep down inside of you, you know that your purpose in this world is to give. Moshe says to Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a system here where everything revolves around you. Every time a person has a shaila, what do? They go to you. They have a simple question, a complex question. Everything revolves around you. No one here, and you know, you can answer, you have the time. You have the time, you have the stamina, you have the siyata d'shmaya for the rest of your life to answer every single email, every single text, every single letter, every single question, answer every single telephone call. Moshe Rabbeinu was superhuman, and he was granted the siyata d'shmaya to get it all done in one day, what another person would take a lifetime to do. Okay, there's a lot of gedolim that were able to do this. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know how many letters he answered in one day? It's not to be believed. Well, the amount of how much all the gedolim showed, they were able. It's like mind-boggling the amount of shilas piskei halacha that they issued in one day. The Chasam Sofer, it's not to be imagined. What we find people are able to do in one day. Because you have siyata d'shmaya, you have siyata d'shmaya. It's not the workload. The problem is, what about everyone else in society? If every single question has to come to you, so everyone is just sitting in kollel. They're sitting in kollel and they're learning. Okay, it's a beautiful thing. But Yisro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, a human being at some point in time in his life needs to have a position. He needs a shtela. Not that he needs a shtela because people need him. Even if they don't need him, he's not really needed. He needs the shtela. He needs to be able to give. You cannot have a society where there's only one person is the one who has a shtela, and everyone else is on the receiving end. That is not a healthy society. This cannot be maintained. Now it's exciting. Everyone is coming to ask you the questions, and you're going to be the only one. Everyone's coming. But you know something? 5 years down the line, there's going to be no one waiting online for you. you're going to be twiddling your thumbs, and you're not going to have anyone, any shilas to answer, because no one's coming, because the people are just burnt out. They need to have a role. They need a role in life. And therefore, divide up Klal Yisrael into many, many layers of leadership, so every person on their level has an opportunity to give. It's not a matter of the workload. The common understanding over here is that Moshe, you're going to wear out. Novelty ball. You're going to wither away. How do we teach novelty ball? It means you have a nervous breakdown. Isn't that the Pshudashol Mikra? Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisif Miboykat Erev, you are going to have a nervous breakdown. And the people, they're going to be waiting online for you the entire day. They're going to go out of their mind. They're going to become impatient. No, that's not the pshat. I'm telling you, that's the pasha pshat. But I want to suggest that's not the pshat. If you're going to have a nervous breakdown because there's too much, the word novel tibol is incorrect. It should say Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know what the better words are. Novel means you're going to just disappear. A nervous breakdown means you're overloaded. You're overloaded means you're going to go meshuga. Novel tibol means a leaf withers away. It comes the winter. It falls off the tree. It dries up and turns into dust. That doesn't mean that the leaf was overwhelmed. If you have a leaf and a scientist comes and injects into the stem of the leaf too many nutrients, too much water, too much nutrients, the leaf will just, it's overwhelmed. Okay, a person, you bring him into a hospital and you put in too many tubes and you turn up the pump and you put into him too much medicine. Guy's in the ICU, and he's being hydrated. You turn up the machine, press all those buttons, and all of a sudden it's like a fire hydrant is going into his body. Medicines, morphine, turn it all the way up. Pump him up. He's overwhelmed. Is that called novel tibol? No. That's not called novel tibol. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is Moshe Rabbeinu. You're overwhelmed. There's too much going on. There's too much. You're going to explode. If you're going to explode, the word novel tibol is not the correct word. Novel tibol means you have nothing to do with yourself. You're sitting around the whole day twiddling your thumbs. You're bored. So when you're bored, there's no water, there's no sunlight, there are no nutrients. So then the leaf just dissolves and turns into nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu, you are going to become obsolete. You know, and no one's going to come knocking on your door anymore. You're not going to have any function. What? How could it possibly be that Moshe Rabbeinu will have no function, will just sit around the whole day twiddling his thumbs and just disappear out of boredom? It's because the people are going to stop coming to you. Why are they going to stop coming to me? Just like a guy in Kollel, after a couple of years, even if he's a multi-billionaire, leaves the Kollel because you have a need to do something. It comes a point in time in life, you have a need to be a mashpia. You have a need to give, to provide a service. Whether that's a service of being a Rebbe, whether it's a service of being a Rav, whether it's a service of being an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer. This is the world of reality. A person has a need to provide, to be a noisei. You can't sit around your whole life and do nothing. So Moshe Rabbeinu, right now everyone is coming to you because right now you're the only noisei. You're the only one that's giving the answers, the solutions to all the world's problems. The Dover HaGadol and the Dover HaKatan. You're the only one. So Moshe, you're the only one. You know what's going to happen? People are going to get sick and tired of this. People just can't go their whole life and be on the receiving end. People also need to be in the position to give.
Self-fulfillment?
Yes, correct. And therefore, Moshe, they're going to stop coming. You're going to just wither away. How will you make yourself useful? Give other people in society an opportunity to become a giver. Share the wealth. Give them jobs. Give a sar for 1,000. A sar for 100. A sar for 10,000. A sar for 10. I think the cheshbon comes out 1 in 8 had a job. So many people need jobs. 7 people in the Hanami, they were the accountants, the doctors, the lawyers. They were not the big learners. So they had other jobs. But 1 in every 8 people was a rav. There was a shul in every corner, a shtibul in every corner. Can you imagine 1 in 8 people was a rabbi? He was a dayan for different groups of people on their level. Because a person has a need to be a noisein. The issue here is not the workload. The issue here is not people waiting online to hear the words of Moshe. The issue here is every human being was created with a need to do something with their life, to provide a service. You have to maintain the health of society by giving everyone a job. And the proof is, number one, it's very logical. I believe what I'm saying. It's very logically true. Look at the world of reality. And number two, I believe that the smoking gun is the term novol tibol, to wither away. If it's a workload issue, this is not the term. The term is Moshe, you're going to explode. Moshe, you're going to become a sugar. Moshe, you're going to lose your mind. I don't know what the Hebrew words are, but it's certainly not the word novol tibol. The word novol tibol means you're going to be bored out of your mind and you're just going to disappear off the face of the earth out of boredom. And that only happens when no one comes knocking on your door. No one comes knocking on my door. I'm the only dayan in the world. I'm the only poysek in the world. And Moshe, when he dies, he'll appoint Yeshua to be the only dayan in the world. And when Yeshua dies, he'll appoint a replacement to be the only dayan in the world. You go down that path, then you know what's going to happen? There won't be a Klal Yisrael anymore. They'll never come knocking on your door for nothing, because a person has a need to be a mashpia. You see certain types of very dangerous leadership is a very dangerous thing. You see certain types of leadership is when there's only one Rebbe and no one else counts for nothing. There are no dayanim and there are no poiskim. It just, everything revolves around one person. That is a recipe for churban. There has to be the top, but the person on top has to have a point, many, many layers of people below him that have a tafkid, have a purpose, have a mission, have a role, have a shtela. Otherwise, the Rebbe on the top, soon enough, he'll have nothing also. Too much kavod is no good. You want to even read into the words of the Rashi. I think it's a little bit of a drush. But I believe it's true. When he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look at the words of Rashi, let me find you the Pasuk. Rashi says, Ki choved mimcha. Okay, it's in Rashi, it's on Pasuk Yudches. It's too much. Ki choved choved. Choved means, we simply translate, it's overwhelming. Too much. The burden, the workload, choved. The word choved also means kavod, honor. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're getting too much kavod. You're not letting other people have kavod. Kavod, what is real kavod means, not everyone sings your praise. Real kavod means fulfillment. That's what kavod really is. Kavod means purpose. So the words of Rashi are, Kivedoi rav yoiser mikoychacha. The weight, the burden is too much for you to bear of your power. I want to read, there's no nekudos in Rashi. So I want to read it, Kivoidoi, the honor that you are receiving. You're a big Rebbe, Moshe. You're too big of a Rebbe. When you're too big of a Rebbe, That's a recipe for a disaster. Kivoido, your honor, the honor that you're receiving in Klal Yisrael, Rav Yoser, Mikoychacha. It's too much for you to bear. It's too much, Rav Yoser, Mikoychacha, than the power, than what you're allowed to have.
Wasn't that
Korach's
sign?
Korach is a whole different. Korach, they already were Dayan. No, Korach. No, let's not go there. I hear your question. It's a very good question. We have to discuss it privately. Korach was already after there was. He was just jealous of Moshe. Moshe was on the top. Moshe was on the top. He was jealous of Moshe being on the top. He was also jealous why he couldn't do Avod, why they chose Aaron and not his family. It was jealousy. Okay, that's a different issue. But this is just a general rule in life. In life, you have to appreciate other people also need to have purpose. If you have a job, you have satisfaction in life because you have a role in life, you have a mission in life, you have a family, you're a Rosh Habayis, so you provide for your family. For many people, that's more than enough. You're a father. You brought into this world children. You know, that's very great. That's very satisfying. I'm a mashpia. I support my children. You don't even realize subconsciously how satisfying that is. Even though you complain the whole day that the kid sits in the koilo and I'm supporting him, and you complain the whole day, but subconsciously you don't realize you feel good about that, that you have a purpose. Not that the child should take advantage of that, that's another whole schmooze. But it's something that needs to be appreciated, that every human being needs to find his role, his purpose, where he can be a provider, where he can serve, he can give a service. And Yisro sees a society where there's only one person who provides a service, and everyone else sits around and does nothing.
It's like the hapu being on welfare.
What?
Not working.
Exactly. Exactly. It's more than not working. It's not a matter of the money. Welfare is a matter of money. You can have people who are on welfare that are very productive. Okay, they're very productive. We're talking about a role. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is making yukels, giving jobs. We're total nonsense jobs. One guy in eight. You need a guy, every eighth guy is going to be the dayan? Going to be the dayan? Yeah, he feels good. My role is, I'm in charge of you eight people. It makes. You ever see a stationery? It's a joke. Of an organization, the first president, the first vice president, the second vice, the third vice president, they make up things. You got to be so creative to make up jobs that don't exist. Why? Because every person in the shul has to have an official role. And this is critical to life. And if not, novel tibol. You're not going to be overwhelmed. You're just going to disappear. Life is boring. Nothing happens. Everyone just shuts down. Society withers away.
The person who shot the horse over is because he didn't bring... It doesn't say that his shriga came. Mm-hmm. It says Yisro came with the girls. And he said, because his shriga stands for the opposite of everything you said.
Why is the shriga the opposite?
Because she wants Davos Tebow. She doesn't want him to shriga.
Oh, okay. Right, that's a whole different. All right, let's now go to another idea, okay? Another idea. B'chodesh hashlishi, Matan Torah, Letzeis b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim, b'yoyim hazeh, on this very day, bohu midbar Sinai. What does it mean, b'yoyim hazeh? B'chodesh hashlishi, it's obvious. It's obvious. B'chodesh hashlishi means Rosh Chodesh Sivan is the day. That's when they came to Midbar Sinai. What do they need the word Bayom Hazeh? Rashi tells us why it says the word Bayom Hazeh. Tells us the reason. Rashi in Pasper Bayom Hazeh Berosh Chodesh. This was Rosh Chodesh. Lo hayitzarich lichtoiv ella Bayom Ahu. Okay, a little bit different. In terms of Bayom Ahu, what's the word Hazeh? The grammatically correct word would be Bayom Ahu. What's Bayom Hazeh? Mahu Bayom Hazeh. So Rashi cites Chazal at Tanhuma to teach you a lesson, sheyiriyu divrei Torah chadoshim olecha ki'ilu hayoim nitnu. The word hazeh, they're coming now to Matan Torah. in 6 days from now, or 6/7 days, they're going to receive the Torah. They're arriving at the destination of Mat of Har Sinai. Bayoim Hazeh, we're changing, we're from Ahu to Zeh, to teach you, oh, you're going to get the Torah in 7 days. This day shall be for you as a lesson for all for your entire life. Every single day, Torah shall be choshuv, ki ilu, today you have received the Torah. That's what Rashi says. It's a very nice drush. When you think about the drush, it doesn't make any sense. Because they did not get the Torah on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. When did they get the Torah? On Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan. So if the word Bayoim Hazeh, this beautiful Joshua, would have been taught relating to a day of the 6th day of Sivan or the 7th day of Sivan, then it would make sense. Bayoim Hazeh, just like Matan Torah, we received the Torah on this day. It was new on this day. Every single day that we wake up in the morning, it should be as if it's brand new. But we're not holding on Zvav Nisan, Zvav Sivan. We're holding here Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So the word Bayoim Hazeh is a very nice drasha, but it doesn't fit into the calendar. What's going on over here? So who makes light, who tries to answer a little bit this question? The Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim indirectly tells us, he's alluding to this, what's Bayoim HaHazeh? And he says, this day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, was the anniversary of the day when Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, the Sneh. It was on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Not Vav Sivan, not Zayin Adar. Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Hashem appeared to Moshe by the Sneh. Moshe saw the Sneh. Ma'adu lo yivar ha-Sneh. Then Moshe Rabbeinu got into a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, I want to recruit you. I want you to be the Pokoy Pokadeti, to be the Goyel. And Moshe said, Baba Eda, what's the purpose of all this? And Hashem says to Moshe, "Be'atziacha asa'am mitzrayim ta'avdun es holokim alohor hazeh uhazeh." So, in other words, what is the real significance about Rosh Chodesh Sivan according to the Baal HaTurim? The real significance is the revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning on giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael took place on Aleph Sivan. It was a big secret. No one knew that there would be a Torah given to Klal Yisrael. The first time it was revealed in this world that there was a plan that Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah on Har Sinai was on the first day of Sivan. B'yayitziyacha esha'om mitzrayim ta'avdun es elokim ala hor hazeh. Yes. Excellent question. That's a discussion in and of itself. There is a way to make the calculation. There are indeed midrashim. I don't know if it might be in fact explicit in the pasuk. Excellent question. Let's work with the assumption that there is proof to this. He's just connecting the dots. You're asking really, really good. How do you know this? We know it. It's a given. He's just now coming to connect the dots. This that it says, this drasha, every single day it should be new in your eyes, because indeed on this day is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the Torah, but on this day HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed that the Torah would be given. It was their revelation. Now, let's go a drop further. What is it about Torah that is so chaviv, should be new in our eyes every single day? Let me answer this question with a different, entirely different vart from the Megillah, soon coming to Purim. In the Megillah, we learn about a Meshuggah called Haman. Haman had everything he could possibly want. Roiv Oshroi v'Roiv Banav, had money, had children, had covet. What was he lacking, Haman? He saw an old Jew by the name of Mordechai, refused to bow down. Big deal. One old Jew doesn't want to bow down. He gets so upset. You have to wipe out the whole Klal Yisrael. What was it about Mordechai. What was about Mordechai? It's going to ring again. It's going to ring again. I'm going to call you back in a minute. Turn it off. What was it? I hope not. What was it? I'm sorry. We you know, we get along. We have a different relationship. You're giving me a look. I'm getting scared over here. Later, he's going to... Okay. What was it about Mordechai that Haman refused to bow down? What was it? Says Lo Yichra v'Lo Yishtachve. It's written Beloshen Osit. Haman didn't just see an old Jew that does not bow down. He saw a stubborn Jew. A stubborn Jew. He will never bow down to me. Haman was able to see. It's written Beloshen Osit. Lo Yichra v'Lo Yishtachve Beloshen Osit. Mordechai will never ever bow down, no matter what. If I'll pay him off, if he'll be threatened with death, no matter what, that ate him up because he saw this is something that will never ever change. Lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. If you see something in your life will never ever change, it's irreparable, it's very painful. As long as there's hope the situation will change, then you can deal with it. But if the situation is lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh, that made him meshuggah, he went to extreme measures, he wanted to wipe the entire Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the burning bush. What does he see? He sees a bush that's not burning. Big deal, doesn't burn. I'll show you a lot of magic tricks. Go online, go to YouTube, you can watch the whole day magic shows. Okay, so it's not burning. Big deal, it's not burning. What did Moshe Rabbeinu see in the burning bush that was so intriguing? Vayar Hashem kisor liros. Moshe Rabbeinu took an interest to go take a look at that burning bush. And you know what the answer is? Because there's a grammatical error in the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the bush and says, Madua lo yivar hasne. Yivar is beloshen osit. It should have said madua loy boer hasne. Why isn't the bush burning in the present tense or in the past tense? That's not what Moshe said. I'm not impressed with the fact that it did not burn yesterday. I'm not impressed with the fact that it's not burning right now. Because there are a lot of magicians in Midian, in Egypt, that can pull off a lot of these stunts. Madua lo yivar. There's something different about this bush. I can sense, I can see, this bush will never ever burn. Never. There's something about this bush that's nitzchi. It's forever. The koyach of this bush is going to last forever. That is something that is awesome. That is something intriguing. This is something which aroused my curiosity. When Hashem saw this, that Moshe was aroused at the nitzchiyus of the bush, oh, Hashem says, this is my man. What happened on the first day of Chodesh Sivan, Bayoyim Hazeh? It was a revelation of Lo Yivar Hasneh. It was a revelation. The Shekhinah is here forever. The snare represents Hashem Shekhinah, the presence of Hashem Shekhinah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come down to this world and the rest is presence, the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, that it's forever. This is what Chazal demanded of us. Bayoim Hazeh Bohu Midbar Sinai. You want to go talk about Matan Torah? Matan Torah is not a good example. Hashem gave us the Torah. No, he gave us the Torah. Very nice. You learn a daf today, you learn a daf tomorrow. Every day is a new daf. You learn today. That's not what Hashem wants to be new in your mind every single day. There's something that is more significant about Aleph Nisan, Aleph Sivan, that is infinitely greater than Matan Torah itself, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and rested His presence, V'koyle Subrochim and Matan Torah. There's something even greater than Matan Torah. And that is the first day of Sivan. Not the first day of Sivan when they came to Bayoyim Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. It's the anniversary. They came today on Har Sinai on the anniversary when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, I'm giving you the Torah. But how did that conversation begin? It began because Moshe Rabbeinu saw Madua Lo Yivar Hasneh. Moshe saw the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. The Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaka. This is what Chazal tell us. B'chol Yom Yiyu B'Einecha Chadoshes. Every single day it should be fresh in your eyes. Madua Lo Yivar Hasneh. An appreciation that Klal Yisrael is Nitzchi. Klal Yisrael will be forever v'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. This is what needs to be refreshed and renewed b'chol yoyim b'yoyim hazeh d'tish b'chol yoyim yu b'inecha chadoshes. Alright, we'll have to stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you. It means the nitzchis of Torah.